Lake Michigan water levels broke a monthly record high for the first time in more than 30 years. We're talking about what this means on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, though, let's check in on our winter member drive at WPR. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and you count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that is why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so critical.
And I have some great news, two pieces of good news. The first one is last hour we heard from 17
wow.
new and returning members.
Nice.
Thank you so much for those gifts. Now, if you're thinking, I wanted to make a donation last hour, I didn't get in on it. Well, good news for you is that right now we have a really special opportunity. When you make a gift of any amount, current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Kurt and Sue Culver, will donate an additional $100 to your gift.
That is so fabulous. Amp it up right now. It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So increase the impact of your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What does public radio even mean? Public radio means listener-supported radio.
And so while we do appreciate business contributions, we do appreciate federal and state tax dollars, it is listener support that is the largest chunk of funding for WPR programs. And that's why your contribution of any amount right now really matters at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So if you've been listening to WPR without giving because you didn't know that we're listener supported, well, now you know we are. The largest source of funding comes from you. The funding for a WPR program comes directly from listeners.
Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. That's good. You're still listening, right? So now is the perfect time to support the programming that you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, absolutely makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This drive, donate any amount and you'll have five chances to win $500 for your next travel experience. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Travel Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Love it, love it. Travel, travel. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan this morning. It is your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You pick the amount. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. We know you're busy. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the whole world. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, we've got this great opportunity. WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
Absolutely. Leverage your gift right now with that additional $100 boost that we have. And as an added bonus for supporting programs you love, you'll have five chances to win that $500 travel agency gift card. No contribution necessary. All the details are at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552. And Sustainer is making ongoing monthly gifts. We love you, we need you, and you're automatically entered.
There's so many great reasons to give. Right now, you get that additional $100 added on to your donation. You get entered in the drawing, but most of all, please do it for the programs that you rely on every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift is so powerful. It really makes a huge difference. Do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
Right now, we're talking about record high Lake Michigan water levels. They averaged about 4 inches above the previous January high set in 1987. And scientists say, you know what? This is a big deal. It may be a preview of what unfolds this spring. Do you live near Lake Michigan? What have you observed about the lake this winter? Have you noticed higher water levels? Has it affected your property or the beach you go to? The conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Again, to join our conversation, 800-642-1234. Drew Groenwald is an associate professor in the School for Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan. Drew, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Lake Michigan water levels reached this record high last month, first time in 30 years. How significant was this record?
It's significant for a lot of different reasons. One is that, as you mentioned, the record for the month of January was broken. And it's important to remember that water levels on all of the Great Lakes, including Lake Michigan, follow a strong seasonal cycle. January and February are usually the time of the year when water levels are at their seasonal low, and then they typically rise through the spring and reach a peak in June. So the fact that we're breaking a record for the month of January has really two important implications. One is that it's setting things up for above-average water level conditions for the next several months, but it also suggests that there's some broader things going on in terms of the hydrologic cycle and possible shifts in the magnitude and the timing of snowmelt across the region. So it's important for a lot of regions, for those of us studying water levels.
So it has been warmer and wetter than usual. How is that contributing to what you're seeing in these water levels?
So in general, there are two ways we can answer that question. One is that from a broad scale, if we look regionally or even on a continental scale, warmer air and in general a warmer atmosphere is holding more moisture and bringing more rain to the Great Lakes region. So the past decade was the wettest in recorded history for the United States, and much of that precipitation, or that much of that record, was due to precipitation in the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes region. So in general, more precipitation coming to this region. But then also warmer winters and even winters with more erratic temperatures tend to lead to different snowmelt patterns than we're used to. For example, in a typical historical winter, we might imagine that snow would accumulate throughout the winter and then melt primarily in February, March, and April. But with erratic temperatures throughout the winter, that snow can melt earlier, and even some of the precipitation might fall as rain rather than snow. And as a consequence, water levels might stay steady and even start rising earlier than they normally would as part of that annual cycle.
Well, as you look at these cycles, there is also less than a decade after Lake Michigan had a record low in January 2013. What do you see there? What can that broader pattern tell you?
Right. So very good point. And just to reiterate that, yeah, in January of 2013, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron hit all-time record lows. That came at the end of a 15-year period where Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, and Lake Huron were all below average for a 15-year period. And what this tells us, and more generally what we've learned about that time period, is there were two things going on. The first thing that was happening that was really dominating water levels on the lakes was an increase in surface water temperature on the lakes and above average evaporation rates. So that was bringing water levels down. But interestingly, at the same time, precipitation across the region was continuously going up. So in general, from 1998 until that record in 2013, evaporation was winning what we're sort of referring to as this tug of war on water levels, with evaporation pulling one way and precipitation pulling the other way. But what's happened since 2013 is that precipitation has started winning that tug of war, in part because precipitation rates are continuing to go up, but also because evaporation slowed down, in part because of that cold, cold winter we had in 2014.
So as you look out the effects today on shoreline communities, what are you seeing? What are the effects?
Well, there are all types of effects, and unfortunately, many of them are negatives. And this goes back. Humans have had a hard time with hydrologic extremes throughout history. When there's a water abundance or water scarcity, there are a lot of problems. The problems around the Great Lakes coastline, in particular on Lake Michigan, have a lot to do with where coastal infrastructure and homes are placed along the shoreline, and also the structure of the shoreline. It can make a big difference whether or not shoreline is on a steep, sandy bluff or if it's on a rocky, gradually sloping shoreline. But all that said, a lot of the problems that we see right now have to do with flooding of homes, erosion of sand dunes, and unfortunately for homes and infrastructure that are placed near steep, sandy dunes or bluffs, some of these houses are actually falling in the water. And I'll make one final point. There are areas right now where municipal infrastructure, not just roads, but even wastewater treatment facilities are being affected by high water. And this is really a major problem. These types of infrastructure are what offer us our high quality of life. So it is becoming a serious problem.
Drew Groenewald is our guide as we learn about record high water levels on Lake Michigan and what shoreline communities are experiencing. He teaches in the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about record high water levels on Lake Michigan and what this means in the face of climate change. First, though, we get an update on WPR's winter member drive that is underway. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Good morning.
Good morning.
And as a WPR listener, you know that you're always going to hear something interesting when you join in to the morning show. And that is thanks to your support. It's listeners who provide the largest share of the funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make the morning show and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And we have a really special opportunity right now. It's a great time to donate because current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members, Kurt and Sue Culver, will add an extra $100 to every gift this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So please go and make a donation and boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org, or you can pick up the phone and call 888-202-2552.
Love that momentum. You share every weekday morning with the morning show. Your morning wouldn't be the same without interesting guests talking about a wide variety of topics, from pet cancer to Lake Michigan water levels. The Ideas Network is here. When your alarm clock wakes you up to it, or while you share breakfast in the kitchen with us or drive to work with us, we're by your side, your companion. Your support makes these morning conversations possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can make your support of Wisconsin Public Radio even easier when you become a sustainer. About half of our members right now are sustaining members. You can choose an amount that works for you. You can say maybe $10 or $20 a month, and you can have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
When you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. Start your ongoing monthly gifts right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is a powerful way to support the WPR programs you love.
We have a cozy new thank you gift for you this drive. It's the WPR Knit Hat. Show off your support through our long Wisconsin winters with this white and navy cap featuring gold stripes and a burgundy palm. It's made in Wisconsin, and it'll be your new cold weather essential. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or a one-time gift of $240 right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer Kent. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. It is your support today, right now, of WPR that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We heard from Heather in West Bend who gave a donation and said, my husband's response to any useful knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio is, I bet you heard that on WPR. And after the millionth time hearing that, I figured, I better donate now. We ask you to make a contribution and we ask you to give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people think about maybe $10 a month. Some give $100 or more a month.
So whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong. So give now whatever amount feels right to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 from a group of folks, including current members and 9XM Leadership Circle members, Kurt and Sue Culver. We want to thank them so much. They will give an additional $100 when you donate any amount. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
And show your support for WPR and get that new hat, right? It's cold out. This navy knit cap is stylish. It's cozy. It's so much fun. It's yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're talking about record high water levels on Lake Michigan and what the warmer and the wetter climate means for the Great Lakes region. Water levels of each of the Great Lakes peaked last summer or fall. They've been in decline since then, but lake levels remain really, really high. Do you live in Kenosha County? What was it like last month when the state of emergency was declared? What did you see? Do you live along Lake Michigan? What have you observed about the lake this winter? Conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Again, this conversation, 800-642-1234. Drew Groenwald is our guide. He's an associate professor in the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability. Drew, earlier we were talking about the threats to critical infrastructure. In late January, Governor Evers declared that state of emergency in response to the flooding along Lake Michigan. How have Great Lake communities, how have they responded to the damage caused by high lake levels?
Well, there are several degrees of response, and unfortunately, I don't know if there's a systematic approach across the entire Great Lakes system. And as I answer this question, I would like listeners to know that I'm thinking about not just the important and beautiful shoreline along the state of Wisconsin, but we're thinking about the entire Great Lakes system all the way down through Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, and the other lakes. And so there are residential owners, commercial businesses that have been suffering through this high water condition all across the system. And so there are places where folks are putting up remedial measures. They're putting up sandbags and things like that on a very short-term time scale. On a slightly longer time scale, though, there are a lot of discussions about things like hardening shorelines or putting up more stone along shorelines to prevent erosion. And there are some problems associated with that, even though it's viewed sometimes as a common solution, in part because those solutions can lead to major changes in nearshore circulation patterns and also the movement of sand and sediment that form beaches and contribute to the shoreline. So I guess in summary, there are a couple of different types of short-term measures being taken, more of an emergency scale, and then also some near-term planning decisions which might need to be scrutinized from a long-term perspective.
Okay, so climate change here. How does climate change factor into what you're seeing in lake levels? 2019 was the second warmest year since records started being collected in the late 1800s.
Right. So one of the challenging things we have regarding the Great Lakes is kind of a complex narrative or a complex story. Interesting, a lot of people look at the marine coasts as sort of a baseline for talking about climate change, where the narrative is there's thermal expansion, there's melting of glaciers, there's sea level rise, water levels are going up. Well, in the Great Lakes, in general, the impacts of climate change are doing what we're calling exacerbating two competing forces or two opposite forces on water levels. One is the increase in precipitation, which naturally, when precipitation goes up, water levels go up. But then also, there are periods when evaporation is going up due to climate change. And so that would be pulling water levels in the opposite direction. So what we're looking for are consequences of these two competing forces. There are times when precipitation wins out, like right now, and water levels would be extremely high. But between 1998 and 2014, as we were talking about earlier, evaporation was winning out. So when we look at the future under a changing climate for the Great Lakes, the big question we have is how are these two competing forces of precipitation and evaporation going to interchange over time and change the water level dynamics that we're used to?
Drew, from your scientific perspective, what kind of significant policy changes may be needed to adjust for climate change?
I think the biggest policy change for the Great Lakes in terms of the conversation we're having right now has to do with coastal infrastructure and zoning requirements. If we need to have some very important discussions about how comfortable we are with water level oscillations along the shoreline and what risks we're willing to take in terms of allowing people to build homes and infrastructure along that shoreline. Not everybody has the resources to simply up and move a home or sell a home if there's flooding. And so I think that's one of the most important policy decisions we have to make right now about what we allow people to do in that shoreline and whether some of that shoreline needs to be set aside for other purposes other than just building homes and commercial infrastructure right along the shoreline. There are other important
And we have to stop there. Drew, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. My pleasure.
Drew Groenewald is an associate professor in the School for Environment and Sustainability at University of Michigan. We'll talk more right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Purple Tube Project, it is gaining momentum around the state. We're talking about the program that helps dementia patients interact with first responders. First, though, let's get up to speed on Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Member Drive. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Good morning.
Hi, Kate.
We're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs that you count on, like The Morning Show. And that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we have something really cool to share right now. We have a great opportunity from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members, Kurt and Sue Culver. They will donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. So you see that leverage, that boost to your gift now. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't want to miss this opportunity, and you can support great programming. Like last segment, we talked to a scientist about the high water levels in Lake Michigan, and I'm really interested in this upcoming segment about the purple tubes. I haven't heard about this. So I'm very interested in this. And these are the kinds of conversations that you can count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888 202 2552. It makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Make your gift right now because of that special opportunity. It's a great time to donate because current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Kurt and Sue Culvers, will give an extra $100 to every gift this hour. It's their way of just inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Give right now at WPR.org. Feel good, 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan this morning. It is listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this winter member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. And WPR is one place where that's true every day. So consider a gift of maybe $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
It is really hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, conversations, music. It's all possible. That works out to $60 a month. You can make that gift right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're really excited because this hour you will receive an additional $100. WPR will receive an additional $100 for every donation made. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
Right. You add additional $100 for your gift, whatever gift you make this hour. And then as an added bonus for supporting programs you love, you'll have 5 chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. So right now, give WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
It's really easy to become a sustainer if you're not one already. You set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
We heard from Sophie in Madison, first-time donor, longtime listener. WPR is on in our house every morning and most evenings. WPR keeps us company, and the warmth from the stereo keeps the cats warm, too. Thank you, Stephanie. Or Sophie says, thank you for all you do. So join Sophie right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Right now, we're talking about the Purple 2 project that originated in Rock County back in 2018. It's now spread to Forest and Sawyer counties, and the goal is to make sure people with dementia receive the best care possible while still living on their own. The Purple 2 ensures that important medical records are in a safe place, so first responders know where to look when they're helping a person with memory loss. Are you a first responder? Could having medical records in hand help you deliver care? Does your county participate in the Purple 2 project? How's it going? Our conversation is right here, right now, 800-642-1234. Again, our conversation, 800-642-1234. Tammy Queen directs the Forest County Office on Aging, which is located in Crandon in the northeastern part of our state. Tammy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks.
You work so closely with the aging population in your county. Give us a sense of what dementia and Alzheimer's looks like in your part of the state.
It varies We have a lot of people who, we have some people who are reside at home, and we have people who reside in assisted living, and we have people who reside in some nursing homes. We have a lot of families, spouses who are caring for their loved ones who are dealing with dementia and or Alzheimer's.
What barriers does a patient with memory loss face when they're in need of medical treatment or in an emergency situation?
Well, depending on the severity of their dementia or Alzheimer's, if they run into an emergency situation, let's just say maybe their caregiver is sick or something happens, and law enforcement may come or EMS, they may not be able to give the information, even their name, to them and what the situation may be. So sometimes, though, if they don't know who that person is, they may become agitated. They may, you know, start fighting. They might start screaming. So there's so many factors that could occur. It depends on the situation. And also, too, if someone is in a situation where EMS or law enforcement have to come to their home, they may not even be able to just understand the simple questions of who is your spouse or who is your caregiver or who can we call to help you or, you know, what are your medications? I mean, something that simple could be very difficult for a person.
Which arrives at the Purple 2 project to help dementia patients. How does this project work?
Well, the project works is to assist the families with first responders by providing information which may be helpful in an event of a medical or behavioral emergency. So basically, we fill out forms. It's like a safety plan for medical or behavioral emergencies for those with the memory loss, a brief medical history just stating what diagnoses they may have other than the dementia or Alzheimer's. It will include their prescription list of what they may take. They may have emergency and non-emergency contacts, release of information so that the information can be shared with the first responders, perhaps an updated photo in case they are a wanderer, copies of a healthcare of attorney or like a do not resuscitate order. So it varies on what the person's needs are, maybe even including allergies.
So a really good snapshot of this person and what their life is and their medical and behavioral snapshot history here. So once you get this information in the Purple Tube, where does it go?
Well, the information goes into the Purple Tube, and then the person will put it into the refrigerator. It will also, if the family would like, we can also upload the information that is in the Purple Tube to our 911 system. Therefore, so when someone does call and they can alert, I mean, it's going to be registered through our 911 system. But if somebody would remove that Purple Tube, and once law enforcement or EMS gets to that person's home, they can't find it, at least then they would be able to call the dispatcher and say, okay, what was in that information? We can't find it, you know, and then they would be able to give that information, you know, if it was the next of kin or a way of being able to communicate with that person or where is a key, you know, even to that point, if they can't get into the home.
We're talking with Tammy Queen, who directs the Forest County Office on Aging in Crandon, and she's telling us about the Purple Tube project that helps first responders really interact with people who have memory loss so they know where to find a tube containing really important medical documents. Tammy, why the fridge?
I don't know. I think that's what Rock County had decided, and I think we've just all kind of gone with it. I think it's just because it's an easier place to find something, because if you put it in a cupboard or if you decide to put it in a drawer, we all know we kind of clutter our drawers and our cupboards, and in an emergency, people don't want to have to be pulling a bunch of stuff out of a cabinet or a drawer to get to it. So basically, we know that a refrigerator, we keep our food there, so it's got to be in some part of that. You know what I mean? If it's on a top shelf or in a drawer, it's deep purple, so it's kind of visual, and it's a lot easier to clean out a refrigerator than it is a cupboard.
How many families in Forest County have signed up to participate?
Well, currently we've gotten 2 people this week. So it's fairly new, and we have just gotten it up and going in the last couple of weeks. So we're out talking about it. We're getting it in our newspapers. We're, you know, people are starting to call us. So it's been, you know, it's slow, but it's just an educational process as well.
So before this project launched, what did you hear from emergency service providers about the need for this type of program?
Well, sometimes what was happening is that they were going into people's homes and they didn't know what was going on. So they would end up taking the person to the ER, having to sit there with them, and to find out, oh, they have dementia and it wasn't a mental health illness, you know, and it would be a Chapter 51 hold that they would have to try to place them on. However, in that situation, law
enforcement... What's a Chapter 51 hold? What do you mean by that?
A Chapter 51 hold is a mental health hold.
Okay.
So basically, if the person's unable to make their own medical decisions or is uncooperative or disoriented, then they're unable to be safe. So then they would have to be put on a Chapter 51 hold to be safe or until the next of kin, you know, they can do a diagnosis to see what was going on, if it was a medication interaction or drug interaction or something, until they figure out what was going on so that they make ensure that the person is safe. So what was ending up happening is that they were putting people who have memory issues on a Chapter 51 hold when they really shouldn't be. And it's very time consuming. And the person obviously can't tell them that, oh, I have a memory issue or this is my diagnosis, because they're scared or they might be reacting to what was going on. So they started lashing out, and this is what they did, because law enforcement did, because they didn't know what else to do.
How did Forest County receive funding to launch this project? Is this a grant project?
We have a national Alzheimer's program that we get through our GWAR funding, our Greater Wisconsin Area Aging on Resources. And we had some funding in there that we could use to purchase the purple tubes. So we were able to do that. And also New Rock, Bay of New Rock, the nursing home here in Forest County, also partnered with us and helped us pay for some of the expenses, like with the printing and stuff like that.
What have first responders said about this project, or even about working with a patient with memory loss and responding?
Well, they're all very receptive to this program. They think it'll be so much easier to be able to find out the information that they need and to grab a tube and run if it's a true medical emergency. So, you know, this way they're not stressing out that person. They're not trying to get information that they can't out of a person. I mean, sometimes in a medical situation, they're administering medications to help with a situation. And, you know, it's scary when the person can't answer the basic questions. Do you have an allergy, or, you know, what other medications are you on? Because they don't want put the emergency situation into a worse situation.
Have you talked with Rock County at all, or Sawyer County, where they've launched this project earlier?
Well, I talked with Rock County initially when I first found out about it, and Corey from Rock County had told me about it, and I was like, wow, this is great. So I learned, you know, I got to learn more about it, and we had a tri-county dementia like collaboration that we worked on this. So it was with Vitalis and Oneida and ourselves, Forest, and we were able to get this project more up and going and trying to make sure that we had all the necessary forms that we needed, making sure that, you know, because since it was piloted, things that were not forgotten that maybe Rock County may have not have thought of. So we really looked at it very closely. We added a couple of forms, like an at-risk adult form, so it gave out more information that the original forms did not have.
Really quickly, before we go here, how easily could this project be set up in other counties?
Very easily. You can get the template from us, Rock County, and then you can tailor it to what your needs are in for your county.
Well, Tammy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tammy Queen is director of the Forest County Office on Aging. We have links, by the way, to more information on the Purple Tube Project and resources for caregivers over on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and now let's get an update on our WPR Winter Member Drive that is moving right along. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan this morning. Good morning.
Hello.
The largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners just like you, and this member drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And there could not be a better time to do it because current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members, Kurt and Sue Culver, will donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. So you can increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now. Just a couple more minutes left of this offer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been all over the map on the morning show today. We're starting with pet cancer and treatments. We've looked at Lake Michigan water levels. We landed in Forest County, where they're launching the Purple Tube Project that's spreading all over Wisconsin. You know, you never know what you're going to learn on the Ideas Network, and everyone is a part of the conversation. These are the kinds of discussions that you count on from the morning show.
And these conversations are listener supported, and that means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That makes many topics that you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
How about get that brand new cozy and stylish WPR hat? This knit hat is USA made. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. Support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you go. It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it. I mean, from my lay point of view, it's beholden to no one, and it has people working for it who love radio and love what they're doing and love who they work for. You hope that people's character says, this is valuable to me, I need to support it.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I am Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. It is your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month right now, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And we only have a couple minutes left in this special opportunity that we've been telling you about. Current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Kurt and Sue Culver, will add an extra $100 to every donation this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can supercharge your contribution right now with an extra $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love it. Just add 100 to whatever you're giving right now. A huge thank you to everyone who has contributed today. WPR is listener supported. That means your gift keeps Wisconsin Public Radio the strong, the reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount, for instance, $10 or $20 a month, and support your listening at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kurt from Chippewa Falls made a donation and said, WPR offers in-depth information and discussion that I greatly value, and WPR sets the standard by offering not only the what, but the why. Every morning on the on the morning show, you hear the why, and that is so enriching to your day. If you support this, make a donation right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Kurt and Sue Culver, when you donate. Yes, an extra $100 when you donate right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
So if you have $100 in your budget to give to Wisconsin Public Radio, that will be doubled. Show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio right now. You love the programs on Wisconsin Public Radio, but if you need a little extra incentive, we've got this extra $100 for each donation going, and we've also got this new fancy WPR hat. It's a knit cap, and it's stylish and cozy, and it's yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for your support.